We want to welcome everyone today to the Wayne County Bible Center on this April 3rd, 2022, and we praise God for all of you who are here in the building, those that are listening on this website. As we prepare during these weeks for our acknowledgement that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us on that cross, you know, so that we could come into a relationship with Him. And we'll be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I praise God for the power of Jesus Christ as my creator. There was nothing created, John says, that was not created by Him. So I bow before Him today for my physical life. He formed me in the womb. I want to praise Jesus today for the power of His blood that cleanses me of all sin. And so I can have a relationship with a holy, righteous God. And now I praise Jesus today also for the power of His resurrection that gives me eternal life. So what we're studying today or in the weeks to come, it takes care of us in this life and in the life to come. What love, what provision, what wonder. And good Lord willing, we're going to get to 1 Peter 3:18 today. But if not, good Lord willing, we'll get to it next week. But the title of today's message is What Was Happening on That Day? The day when Jesus once suffered for our sins on the cross. What exactly was happening that day? But before we go there today, I'm going to go back and we're going to look at last week again. Why it happened? Why did Jesus Christ go to the cross? And if you've got a mirror at home, you can go home and look in it and you'll see the reason why. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the scripture says this: For Christ hath also once suffered for sins. Now that's on the cross. He once suffered for sins on a day 2,000 years ago on the cross. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just, that's Jesus, for the unjust, that's me, that He might bring me unto God. That's the whole reason, Jerry. He wanted to bring me unto God into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the whole reason. And I'm going to say again, I don't want anyone to think, and I said it last week, I don't want anyone to think that I'm anti-religion. I am not anti-religion. I was raised Southern Baptist. I was saved in a Southern Baptist church. I was ordained Southern Baptist. And I am, I believe and agree with Southern Baptist doctrine. However, I consider myself now non-denomination. But I want you to understand, if you've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you're a member of a religion, much good can come of that. You can be a blessing to other folks. You can be active in a local church. And you can be blessed by a lot of the folks that are in that church. And you can be used by God. But if you're a member of a religion without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have nothing. And so that's my point. And as I said last week, you know, I read the survey. 70% of Americans still claim to be Christians. 70% of Americans still claim to be believers in Jesus Christ. But they're not. They're believers about Jesus Christ. They're believers about the existence of God. 50 years ago, Billy Graham said he believed 30% of that 70% were actually saved. And so my question to you is not, are you a Christian because of what we've done with the definition? Not, are you of a believer because what we've done with the definition? But are you indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Are you indwelt? Because as I showed you last week in Romans, it says if you have not the indwelling of the Spirit, you're none of His. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you must have a born-again experience with Jesus Christ by which you're indwelt by the Spirit. So you got to be able to look back over your life. And you know, Coach Sis discussed this with me many, many months ago. He saw it, I saw it. There was an obituary in our paper of a man who was 98 years old that had died. And it was pointed out that he was christened into a certain religion at 6 months of age, or 3 months of age, or 6 days. I can't remember. But that was the second line in the obituary. And I want you to understand, no one can make a decision for Jesus Christ or a commitment to Jesus Christ. You're going to see why that's important in a moment. At 6 days or 6 months or even 6 years of age, you've got to come to an understanding of what sin is, what righteousness is, what judgment is. Now, I'm quoting to you John 14. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll convict you of those things. So you've got to come to an understanding of that. Come to an understanding of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. And then you have to come to a place where you not only believe the truth about Jesus, you believe in the power of Jesus to save you, and you make a commitment to Christ for making a commitment to you with His life on Calvary's cross. So we're going to keep riding this horse. We're going to keep going forward in this. And because only the Lord knows who's hearing these messages. And this is a time for people to come to Jesus. Because without Jesus, we don't have a chance. 1 Peter 3:18. Christ once suffered for my sins on the cross 2,000 years ago. He was perfectly just and righteous. He died for me who was unjust and sinful, that He might bring me to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call on You today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. I confess these things to You as the Word of God tells me to. And so, Father, as I cry out to You today, I pray for a cleansing by the blood of Jesus. And I pray for an anointing of Your Spirit and a filling of Your Spirit to wash the feet of the people that are listening. Lord, give me a spirit of humility. I must decrease so that You increase. And Father, I just pray You take over. Holy Spirit, You're our teacher. And I pray that You will speak to the hearts and minds of these beautiful souls that are in this room. Those that You died for. Those that You created in the womb. And Father, I pray that You will touch the hearts of those that listen to us throughout this week on this website. So Father, You be the glory. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and Lord, You washed it white as snow. So Father, You paid it all. And as we sit in this room today and think of every good thing in our life, we realize all to You we owe. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us now. In Your name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to look at what happened on the cross on that day. But last week we looked at why it happened on that cross. So go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at what happened. And then we'll go back to look at why it happened. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, it says this, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ." All right, now look at what it says. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Now, reconciliation is a relationship word. You're going to see that in a moment. Reconciliation is a relationship word. And then he says in verse 19, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself when He was on the cross, not imputing our trespasses unto us. Because in verse 21, when Jesus was on the cross, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that I could be made the righteousness of God in my relationship with Christ Jesus. So we're going to study that in a moment, but before we do, I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 2, where we were last week. Before I tell you, or we move forward in what happened on the cross, I want us to look again at why Jesus died on that cross. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says this: "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And I want you to grab that phrase, the gift of God. What is the gift of God in this context? Well, the gift of God in this context is the salvation experience, and it's free. I don't have to do any work for it. I don't have to pay for it. I don't have to earn it. Grace means it's free. It's a gift. It is freely given to me by God. And all I have to do is receive it by a commitment of faith. And we'll look at that a little bit more strongly here in a moment. But by a commitment of faith. And you might be sitting here today, or you may be listening on this website, and you say, "Well, Brother Leo, I believe." Well, believe in the English is not the same as belief in the Greek. And in the Greek, the word pistos means to believe about, to put your trust in, and make a commitment to. And I'm going to show you why that is so important, that all three of those elements go together into what the Hebrew writer calls saving faith. Because if you understand the parable of the four soils, all four of those people believed, but the first three didn't have saving faith. So it's got to cross a line into a commitment. And so we'll see that today, good Lord willing. But I want you to understand something. The free gift of salvation is free to us, but somebody paid for it, and what did they pay? All right, somebody paid for it, and what did they pay? And I sat here last week. And you know, I live in America, and I love America, and I praise God for America. And I have freedom in America. Now I'm sitting here today and preaching the Word of God. I've got freedom in America. I'm not under the tyranny of a dictator. I've not lost my right yet to speak freely. I've not lost my right yet to keep and bear arms in this country. I've not lost my right yet to worship the God I believe in. And I want you to understand, for over two centuries, we have enjoyed those freedoms. I didn't pay for them, but other Americans have. They have paid with their lives. They have paid with dismembership. They have paid with mental losses. As I told you, I did the funeral for two of my cousins who never were right when they came back from Vietnam mentally. And they also lost their life from Agent Orange cancer and didn't get to live to 62 like I have. Both died in their 40s. And so what I want you to understand, the freedoms we enjoy in this country going all the way back to the Revolutionary War were purchased at a cost of life. And I want you to understand your salvation was also. So go with me to John 3:16, and I want to show you who paid for it and what they paid. You say, "Brother Leo, you preached this last week." I know it, and I'm preaching it again. Because we've got to drive this home. We've got to understand what we respond to. There are too many people that join churches. There are too many people that get baptized. There are too many people that are members of a religion. And it's much, much more than that. And it's much, much deeper than that. You know, I've got to be motivated, Jody. I've got to respond to something. It's not enough for me to just join a club or for people in the community to think a certain way about me. Yet, you know, it's got to be real. You know, I've got to have the realness of the experience, the reason, the purpose, the drive, the motivation. And in John 3:16 it says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, faith, pistos, shall have everlasting life." So God the Father paid the price. And what was the price? He gave His Son. Yes. Now I can think of no higher price than that. Let me show you again. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. And we were there last time. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it says this, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for all of us." He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for all of us. My free gift of salvation cost God the Father His Son. Now I think back on Abraham and Isaac. Now I'm going to tell you something. I would have hated to have been Abraham if God had told me to take Daniel up a mountain and tie him to an altar and then drive a knife or a sword through his heart. The whole way up there, I'd have been dying inside. The whole way through the experience, I'd have been dying inside. And I say again, Lehman, think about if it were Terry. Larry, think about if it were Cameron. Dwayne, think about if it were Tim. Everyone in this room, think about if it were your child, your son, your daughter, your grandchild, given for someone else so that they can live or have certain benefits in life. It costs God the Father His only begotten Son. And you think about how long you've had this child, how long you've loved this child. God the Father has been with the Son throughout eternity. Much, much longer. Much, much longer. And so, you know what you call that? You call that what Paul called it in Ephesians 2, the great love wherewith He loved us. I can't comprehend it. It says, Paul says you can't comprehend how much God loves you. But he's trying to give us an illustration in giving His only begotten Son. And I not only call that love, I call it a commitment. God made an incredible commitment to me when He gave His Son so that I could know Him. I told you last week what made us move to Wayne County, Tennessee. Your commitment to us, to this ministry. You know, we were in the Armory building, and in 2000, you made a decision to lease purchase this building. I went home and I told Patty, I said, this ministry is turning into something that seems permanent. And I said, these people are willing to make a commitment to this ministry and put a 20-year commitment and paying for a building. I said, we need to turn around and make a commitment to them and move. So we reciprocate a commitment. We come to that understanding, and people don't have that understanding. So you say, well, Brother Leo, I didn't ask Him to do it. He's God. He could have come up with another way to bring me to salvation. So why did He allow His Son to suffer? And like I say to you, and hopefully I can show you today, He didn't just take a bullet for us. You know, it's about 18 hours of intense suffering He went through, starting in Gethsemane. But why? Go with me to 1 John. You say, Brother Leo, it could have been another way. There's no other way not to do what I'm about to show you in the Scripture. There was no other way, Court. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says this, In this action that God the Father took upon Himself was manifested the love of God toward us. It showed how much God loved us because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might gain eternal life through Him. It was the only way God could show us how much He loved us. Now, I want you to understand something. Look at what it says in verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. You know what salvation is? Salvation is when a person comes to an understanding of how much God loves them, how much God has done for them, how much God went through for them, and we respond to that love. You've been created with the capability of responding to love. You've been created with the capability of responding to a commitment. I'll do anything in the world for Ken Burns. I'd do anything in the world for Ken Burns. In the last 20 years, Ken Burns has been on my roof. He's been in my basement. He's done my plumbing. He's done electrical. He's risked his life. Anytime I need him, I call him. He's there. He's fixed washers, dryers, stoves, fireplaces. I can go on and on. You say, wow, you've been blessed. All that Ken's done all that for you. He's done all that for me and more. He's done all that for me and more. I can respond to that. Yeah. Think about what God's done for you. You think I'm not going to be there for Ken if he needs me? You think I'm not going to take a stand for God if He calls me to take a stand? You think I'm not going to deepen my commitment unto God when He calls me to make a commitment unto Him? And so it calls God the Father, His Son. What kind of love? But I want you to understand, it doesn't just tell us about God. He tells us about us. Can you imagine the value He puts upon your life? How important you are to Him? How worth you are to Him? Your worthiness to God? Boy, He must really love you. Boy, He must really care about you. Boy, He must really want you to know Him. That's 1 Peter. We may get there today, we may not. But He's dying on that cross to bring us into a relationship with Jesus Christ. God already knew me. He knew me in the womb. The whole point of it, God knows every one of you. But do you know Him? And you know what it says, Cameron? One day I'm going to see Him as He's seen me. One day I'm going to know Him like He's known me. I'm going to enter into that presence. And I can grow deeper and deeper. I'm going to tell you something, and I tell it all the time. People say, you know, Patty needs to be out here to hear what I say about her. But, you know, I've been in love with her since I was in high school. Now, I messed up a lot. But I loved her the first time I saw her. But I want you to understand it's much, much deeper now. And it's much, much better now. And I want to praise God I can grow in my relationship with Jesus. We can understand that. God is meeting us on terms wherewith He created us in His image to understand things like love, commitment, relationship. And so what does man do with it? He piles in religious dogma and rituals and all these things. I keep tangling this wire. And what we've got to understand is you've got to strip all that away. You've got to strip everything away when it comes to your commitment, your relationship, your involvement with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it cost God the Father His Son. What did it cost the Son? Go with me to John 15. John 15. My free gift of salvation, the gift of God, Ephesians 2 calls. John 15, verse 12 says this. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did He love us? He loved us so much that there is no greater love ever known in humanity on the face of the earth, that this man, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for its friends. It cost God the Father his Son. It cost God the Son his life. He gave his life for you. Go with me to John 10. Go with me to John 10. John chapter 10, verse 11 says this. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He's going to fight the wolves. He's going to fight the devil. He's going to face my judgment, my penalty, the wrath of God poured out. All these things, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do that because he loves me. And he wants to bring me into a relationship with him. Verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for Leo Doyle, for Betty Burris, for Gloria Hastings. I lay down my life so that they can know me in a personal relationship. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Epignosis. Not gnosis. Gnosis means general knowledge. Epignosis means personal, intimate knowledge like you have between a husband and wife or best friends. Our childhood friend, so that they can know me in a personal relationship. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. Go with me to verse 9. Back up. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You get saved, and then you get provided for. You go in and out, and you find pasture. And God blesses you in the relationship. Verse 3, to him the porter opens. The Holy Spirit opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Because they know his voice. I told you I had to call my friend Tim Cook that I had not seen in 40-something years. And Tim was, in my opinion, the best right-handed pitcher ever to come out of Charleston. With the organizations he played for. And when I called him, he answered the phone. I said, Tim. He goes, Leo Doyle. There are times I talk to people I've not seen since Brevard, and I will call and I'll say their name, and they know my voice. And then there are people that don't know me that listen to the website, but they know my voice. You know how you know someone's voice? You know their voice because you've got a personal relationship with them. And so that's why he says, they know my voice. A lot of people say, Brother Leo, I don't know if it's the devil, or I don't know if it's the Lord speaking to me. Well, my friend, you better deepen your relationship with Jesus, because there's a huge difference. Amen. If you can't recognize the voice of Jesus dealing with you, Cleo, starting last Sunday afternoon, you know, You need to check on Bobby Maples. You need to check on Bobby Maples. You need to check on Bobby. Monday, I called Bobby Maples. You think the devil wants me to check on somebody that just got saved? They know my voice because they know me. What's God telling you to do right now in your life? What's God telling you not to do? A lot of times we don't want to talk to him because it's like our mom or dad. We don't want to really know what they think about what we're doing. We're just not even going to talk to Jesus about this. How how much love. Jesus Christ came to earth. And hey, I'm not even going there. We talk about all He went through on the cross. Do you understand He left glory just to come to earth? He left heaven. And all the exaltation and all the glory to come to earth, to be born in a stable, to be ridiculed, spit upon. A sword went through Him, nails went through Him, to hang on a cross 6 hours, 3 hours of darkness, to sweat blood in Gethsemane. He left heaven for this?
Thank you, Jesus.
Boy, He must really love you. People are told all the time, nobody loves you, nobody wants you, nobody cares about you. God does.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
That's a lie of the devil. Nobody loves you, nobody cares about you, nobody wants you. God does. Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ said, I love you, and it is written not only in the red letters in this Bible, it is written in the red letters of the blood that Jesus shed for you. And let me tell you why I have such a huge responsibility to everyone in this room and to everyone that listens to this website. Go with me to Acts chapter 20. I left this out last week, but I want you to see how Paul describes you. How important you are. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says this. And he's speaking to what he's calling overseers, or pastors. And he says this, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. You are to feed the church of God with the word of God and with truth. That's my call. That's what I've been anointed to do. That's why I had to leave the traditional ministry. Because all I've been called to teach the Word of God. That's all I am. I'm just a Bible teacher. But notice what he says. Who hath made to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He purchased me with his own blood. Not silver or gold. We looked at that last week. What does that say about God? That says how much He loves you. But what does that say about you? That says how much you are worth to God. And I went through the whole thing in Leviticus last week about how the life is in the blood and free will in the Garden of Eden and the Levitical law. And now, you know, every time a sin was committed, an animal had to be sacrificed. But now a man came that never sinned and gave his life so I could have a permanent, eternal forgiveness of sin. He has purchased you with your own blood. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I knew that didn't sound right. It's in the New Testament. And it's right before 2 Corinthians. Which he hath purchased with his own blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? For you are no longer your own. You are bought with a price, which is the life, the death, the suffering, taking on the wrath of God that Jesus did. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, and with your life, which do not belong to you, they belong to God. And I want to tell you something. You know, folks say, I don't want to give my life away. Let me tell you something. I didn't give my life away. I gave it to Jesus Christ. The one who knows what's best for me. The one who has my best interests in mind. The one who has my best interests in mind when I don't even understand what's going on. The one I can trust with my eternal life, my temporal life. The one that will provide every need that I truly have. Well, I don't know if I like that, Brother Lee. Well, then don't come to Jesus. You've got to come to Jesus with an understanding that Jesus Christ died for you. I don't want you to stand before the judgment seat and say, you know, nobody ever told me this commitment stuff. Nobody ever told me this born again stuff. Nobody ever told me, you know, all that Jesus did for me. I thought all I had to do was join a church. I don't want you to stand before the judgment seat and hear that and say, I listened to this guy for 38 years. And you have to come to a place. Well, what did Paul say in this very book? Examine yourself whether Christ be in you or not. And when Jesus Christ sees saving faith and commitment in your heart, He sends to you the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 says the first thing the Holy Spirit shouts out in your heart is when He unites with your spirit, I am now a child of God. I have received the spirit of adoption. You're either a child of disobedience, you're a child of God. And all that's in today's sermon that we're going to see next week. But what I want you to understand, you are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. I had someone tell me not long ago their preacher wasn't able to preach because the sermon didn't get there in the mail that the denomination was sending them. True story, about 3 years ago, but it's a true story. I praise God. Whether the mail comes or not, tomorrow morning the Holy Spirit's going to start pouring stuff out on me. He'll start pouring stuff out when I leave. He's pouring stuff out now. So where do we go with all this? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul says this. For whether we are beside ourselves, it is to God's glory. And whether we be sober, whether we're mad, whether you think we're drunk, we don't care. We're doing what we're doing for the glory of God. And whatever it is you're saying about us, it's not true. And we're doing it so that you can be ministered to. And then he says this, for the love of Christ constrains us or drives us or motivates us. It is the love of Jesus Christ. We understand He loved us so much that He died for us. This is what motivates us in life. This is what drives us in life. And then we thus judge. We have come to this conclusion that if one man died for all, we were all dead. And that if he died for me, then I should live not unto myself anymore, but I should live making a commitment unto Him who died for me, and then He rose again. Now that word judge means this. It means to conclude or determine based on an assessment or an examination. To conclude or determine based on an assessment or an examination. Let me give you the second part. Zodites in the Greek. To arrive at a conclusion as a result of a comparison. One to another. So what does he mean there, Cameron? He means he's examining the commitment Christ made to him and comparing it to the commitment he's making unto Christ. We thus judge. If he died for me, then I ought to live for him. What did Jesus say? If any man's going to come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. You know what a cross represents? Your commitment. You know, what situations in life, and as you assess it, put areas in your life. Put finances, put career, put hobbies, put relationships, put whatever, put your schedule. How does your commitment in this area stack up? Your commitment to Jesus, the just, stack up. You're the unjust that got saved. He did all this for you. How does your commitment stack up to Him? Are there areas in your life where He's taking second place, third place, fourth place? I'm going to tell you one thing. He sure didn't compromise me when He was on the cross. He sure didn't compromise you on the cross. Well, Brother Leo, I know he's not a Christian, but I'm going to date him anyway. Well, you better examine that. Well, Brother Leo, I'm going to do this job, and I know it's going to take me away from God, but I'm going to take it anyway. You know, I want you to understand, everything you've got in your life that's good, He's the one that gave it to you. And a lot of people know this. A lot of people in the Carolinas know this. Some of you know this. I don't have to work anymore. Financially. So what am I going to do? Why I've got mental competence. Why I've got physical health. That has been given to me by God. While I've got a calling and anointing on my life. Me and Patty are just going to start traveling. Me and Patty aren't going to get any more calls on Christmas morning at 8 o'clock because people are trying to kill each other. Me and Patty aren't going to spend hours upon hours with people that are just placating. They're really not listening, but at least they can say, hey, we once saw the preacher. You know what I fear in that? God loves me so much. If I were to step down today, based on the blessings He's given me to, in 2 weeks, I had a cancer diagnosis, yeah. I'd say, okay, Lord, I see what You're doing. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. As long as I'm in this pulpit, and in 2 weeks I get a cancer diagnosis, I'll say, hey, I'm in the middle of God's will. He's allowed this to come into my life. I did not bring this upon myself, and I'm going to fight this battle and bring Him glory. Where is He second? Where is He third? Where is He fourth? I'm going to show you what He went through before I close today, and we'll get to this message next week. Don't miss it. It's a good one. But what I want you to understand is this. You know, where does He take a back seat? In some of these Christians' lives, He's not in the back seat. He's in the trunk. Let me show you what He went through. Isaiah 53. He did this for you. I don't want anybody coming to me and whining, Brother Leo, Brother Leo. Because I want you to understand something. As I sit here today, and I look around this room, and many of you have been blessed incredibly, I feel like the most blessed man in the world. I've been through family crises. A lot of y'all have walked with us through these family crises. You have stood with us. The latter end of Job's been blessed a million times more than the former. I've been through health crises, just getting out of college 3 times. I've been close to death because of Crohn's disease. I've not had one pill for Crohn's disease since 2010. I feel like the most blessed man in the world. I get to preach in a ministry where you have loved me and you have been there for me, and I don't have to go to 5 meetings a week. I don't have to kiss the backside of some associational something or some state something. I get to study and preach and teach the Word of God. And you know what I see in that? I see the words of Jesus. To whom much is given, much is expected. So look at what it says in Isaiah 53, verse 3. This is what happened when he was on the cross. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This is what humanity did to him. They shouted out, they hated him. He went through two situations of wrath. When he was on the cross, he faced the wrath of man and the wrath of God. For you. You write your name on every one of these verses. That's why he did. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we didn't stand up for him. We esteemed him not. Nobody stood up for him. How terrible must that feel? You know, I want to praise God. I've been through some rough spots in my life, but many of you folks have stood up for us. Can you imagine going through a tragedy and nobody standing up for you? Nobody encouraging you? Well, what about the disciples? They all ran off and hid. Now look at what it says. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So now he's being smitten by God. The internal feeling, let's just say it's Jerry, Jody, Ken, Betty, and me. All of our sins are placed on Jesus right now, the five of us on that cross. But it wasn't just that. It was all the sins of humanity were placed on his body. And I'm going to show you next week how they were taken out of the way, because it's a barrier between me and God, how at the cross they got taken out of the way. And so he had to face the wrath of God and the judgment of God and the penalty for all that sin. The theologians say, he faced my judgment, he faced my death, and he faced my hell. And he did it for all of humanity. That's why he sweat blood in Gethsemane. Can you imagine the enormous pressure on someone in their humanity? But Leo Dole was right there. My sins were right there. Praise Jesus. Love me so much. Now look at what it says, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 5. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now, I want to go through the steps. He got jerked out of Gethsemane. He got thrown in front of a religious tribunal, a civil tribunal. He got slapped around. He got whipped. He got scourged. He got a crown of thorns. He got spat upon. He got cursed. His clothes got jerked off of him. He got beat up. He got kicked. He got thrown down. But I want you to go to this verse, Isaiah 52, verse 14. Look at what it says. Back up one chapter. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, it was marred more than any man in the history of the world, and his form was marred more than any man in the history of the world. If you saw Mel Gibson's depiction of the crucifixion, I don't know how many years ago, it was horrific. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't imagine it. But what that means is he was beaten so badly upon the face, he was unrecognizable even by those that knew him. Could you imagine me being beaten so badly that you had to go tell Patty, we're not sure if it was Brother Leo or not. And in his body also. And you can just write down his commitment to me. That's what he committed to you, Apollos. That's what he went through for you. Verse 6, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And so there he carried my sin. In verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. When I come into a relationship with Jesus, I'm justified. And you're going to see that next week. That's another legal term. Impute. Reconciliation. Justification. By what he did on the cross and by me accepting what he did on the cross. I want to close out with Psalm 116. And this is a simple question, but I think you need to put it on your refrigerator, this one verse. You can write it, you can type it out, and you can live by it. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What am I rendering unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Coach says you had shared with me several weeks ago. But Daniel texted me 6:30 this morning, and I'm not going to pull it up. But he said, Dad, did you see the Hubert Davis interview after the Carolina game? Where he said his relationship with Jesus Christ is the main impact on every area of his life. And he said, I praise God they didn't cut that out on ESPN and they let it be said. And Sis shared with me a couple weeks ago, he said, you know, Hubert Davis is upfront about his faith. He's at one of the most woke universities in the United States of America. The only one that may be more woke is Duke University. You can walk on those campuses, you don't even think you're in America. And I've walked on them. I'll not pull for the University of South Carolina tonight as they play for the national championship, because last year they couldn't come out for the national anthem. People text me, are you excited about South Carolina? No, I'm not. I pulled for Creighton when they played them. Creighton lost by 30. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to pull for somebody that's going to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pull for somebody that's going to stand up for America. I'm not going to sell my soul for a university. But I want to close out in reading that one phrase. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Layman, I'm going to grab that one phrase. All his benefits. I'm 62. Good Lord willing, I'm going to live another 40 years. But if I were to live another 40 years, do you think I could even list all the benefits he has done for me? But I'm going to tell you something, I can sure try. I can sure try. And you know how I can say thank you, Jesus? By doing what Paul said. I have concluded that if Jesus Christ died for me and gave his life for me and has done this for me and has done that for me and has done this for me, the least I can do is live my life for him in this area, in this area, in this area. My friend, and Martha Jo, we're going to go ahead and play for a few moments. What I want you to understand is you approach this season of the cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only think about the cross on which Jesus died, don't just think about his cross, think about yours. And meditate upon yours. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I praise God for a God. Boy, he sure must love me. Boy, he sure must want to know me. Boy, he sure must want good in my life. I'm going to tell you something. If you ever are in a situation where you can take a stand for God or take a stand for the devil, or take a stand for God or take a stand for the world, or take a stand for God or take a stand for the lemmings. You know who the lemmings are? You know what a lemming is, though? I figured a goat farmer would know a lemming. A lemming's a rodent. You know lemmings, right? And is it the spring or the fall when tens of thousands of them follow one lemming and they all go off the cliffs in California and lose their lives in the Pacific Ocean? And you know why those lemmings do it? Because all the other lemmings are doing it. Tens of thousands of them. They've been studying these things for 100 years. They come out of the deserts. They come from all over. And these little rodents just commit suicide in the Pacific Ocean. I'm going to take a stand for God. Because you know what? God came to bring us life. And if you ever take a stand for God, I guarantee you he's going to bless you. He's going to bless you better than you think doing it your way. Or doing it the lemming way. Or doing it the world's way. I cannot deny. I cannot not take a stand for the one who hung for me. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to repeat that verse. What shall I render unto the Lord for all that he has done for me, my family, my son, my daughter-in-law, my parents, my children, my grandchildren. Lord Jesus, I praise your holy, holy name. Father, thank you. May we all be able to say, my relationship with Jesus Christ is the principal impact on every area of my life. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Thank you. Lord Jesus, lead us all in the days ahead to meditate upon how much we're loved, how much we're valued by you, how important we are to you. And Father, let it give us peace. How you don't hold anything back. He who spared not his own son will not withhold any good thing from any one of us. And Father, I know for many of us, our lives are not the most important life. Father, I want to thank you that you love our children more than we love them. You value them, our grandchildren, our loved ones, our spouses. Father, I just want to thank you that we are safe placing our lives and the lives of our loved ones in your hands. You held nothing back, Lord Jesus. And you hold nothing back. Father, may my commitment to you deepen in the weeks and days of this season, where I survey the wondrous cross, where the Prince of Glory died, where you shed your blood so I could wear a crown. Father, you are so good. And I know, Father, that you just want to bless everyone in this room and everyone listening on this website. You want to bless us more and more in life. And we thank you, and we praise you.